Our next case this morning is case number... Is this right? 062807? Must be. Castellanos versus Holder. Ms. Imbruck.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel, and may it please the Court. My name is Nissa Imbrock, and I represent the appellant in this case, Jaime De Leon Castellanos. This appeal presents a question of law, whether a conviction under subsection A1 of Illinois' domestic battery statute constitutes a crime of violence as defined by 18 U.S.C. section 16A. If the answer to this question is yes, that means that the immigration judge has no discretion to cancel the order of removal requiring Mr. De Leon to return to Guatemala, where he has not lived.
How is this case affected by the Johnson case decided by the United States Supreme Court last March? I can't understand why nobody has cited that case to us.
Is that a case that...
It's right in point to this whole issue. I don't know whether it changes anything, but I would like to hear more about it.
Your Honor, I'm sorry. Was that the case where the court was looking at the definition of crime of violence and said it was a crime that that used violent force?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the parallel provision in the Armed Career Criminal Act.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
It involves a battery statute from Florida. Judge Scalia wrote the opinion, and it raises many of the same issues as are raised here.
Yes. Your Honor, in our view, Section 16A should be strictly construed because it has the effect of a penalty on immigrants who face deportation and other immigration consequences, as well as on criminal defendants who face sentencing enhancements. And if you look at the plain language of Section 16A, only crimes that have as an element the use of force fit within 16A's definition. And we believe the definition in 16A should not be expanded just because physical harm may result. Physical harm is an element of the underlying statute where the use of physical force is not also an element. Crimes that have an element of physical harm but do not have an element of use of physical force might fall within 18 U.S.C. Section 16B, and that statute is more broadly worded to include all felonies that, by their nature, involve a substantial likelihood that the use of force will be used in their commission. But Section 16B is not before the court because that was not the basis for the BIA's decision. In addition, as several of the cases we cited in our brief illustrate, the use or the causation of bodily injury does not necessarily only result from the use of physical force. For example, United States versus Villegas-Hernandez from the Fifth Circuit, that involved a Texas assault statute under which a person commits an offense if the person intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly causes bodily injury to another. And in that case, the court determined that the bodily injury element of the statute could result from any number of acts without necessarily using destructive or violent force. And the court gave several examples, which are also applicable to the Illinois statute. For example, making available to the victim a poisoned drink while assuring him it's safe, or telling a victim he can safely back his car out while knowing an approaching car is going to hit the victim. And the Fifth Circuit explained that in that circumstance, to convict a defendant under any of those scenarios, the government would not need to show that the defendant used physical force against the person or property of another, and therefore a use of force was not an element of the crime. And we believe that the same analysis applies to the Illinois statute. While the Illinois domestic battery statute does require proof of bodily harm, it does not. That bodily harm can be caused by any means, which could include means such as deception, guile, or deliberate omission, and not just means that actually use force or some type of physical contact or touching.
The statute requires the intentional causation of bodily harm. So it seems to me that the causation requirement, the intent requirement, and the harm requirement combine to suggest, anyway, that the element of use of force is there.
Well, it's our position that...
It's not just a touching statute. I mean, some of these battery statutes, simple battery statutes, contain... a variety of the offense that consists of unwanted touching. That was part of the issue in the Johnson case, is that that's how the Florida courts had interpreted the battery statute at issue there, as including unwanted touching. That's contained in a different subsection of the Illinois statute.
Yes. Well, the section...
So if this was an unwanted touching case, it would have been charged under that section. It wasn't. It was charged under the bodily injury statute.
Yes, that's correct.
There's these two alternatives. You know, it seems to me the presence of one excludes the other.
Well, the subsection under which Mr. De Leon was convicted actually doesn't have any sort of touching or contact requirement at all. The causation element there can be bodily injury caused by any means. And it's not limited to just physical contact. So it's our position that use of physical force is not an element of the crime. We can see why it may fit under Section 16B, but Section 16A is strictly limited to crimes that have physical force as an element.
How do the Illinois courts interpret this particular subsection of the statute?
Do you mean what they've determined to be sufficient to constitute bodily harm, or
they interpreted to include unwanted touching or any of these other scenarios that you've
I haven't found any case law giving examples like I discussed from the Villegas-Hernandez decision. However,
somebody who gives somebody else poison is going to be charged with a different sort of a crime, right? Not simple battery.
That's probably true, but I think according to the definition in 16A, we're supposed to be looking at the elements of the underlying offense rather than necessarily what has been charged under that case. And I think the examples in Villegas-Hernandez of injuries caused without the use of physical force are also things that, if you look at the elements of the Illinois statute, are crimes that could fit under that statute as well. And unless the court has further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Chima?
May it please the court, Bunith Chima for the respondent, the Attorney General. The petitioner was convicted on two occasions of domestic battery in Illinois. This court has already decided the issue here, whether a conviction under that Illinois battery statute constitutes a crime of violence. Upton held that it was unambiguously so, and LaGuerre reaffirmed that finding.
Do you think that's consistent with the Johnson case?
I apologize for Johnson not being in our briefs, Your Honor. And
yeah, I don't see how we can just ignore the most recent Supreme Court opinion on this.
I'd be happy to provide...
It may be distinguishable, but it certainly ought to be distinguished.
I'd be happy to provide supplemental briefing on that if you'd like.
Probably a good idea, since this case was not cited by either of the parties. Why don't you each submit a supplemental within 10 days of today's date?
Be happy to do so, Your Honor. Okay. In the petitioner, in arguing that the court should find that the Illinois statute is not a crime of violence, misreads Flores, which he relies on, in two key ways. The petitioner, the Flores court found that the Indiana statute at issue there was specifically distinguishable from a line of cases holding that battery with an intent to injure as crimes of violence. The Indiana statute penalized offensive touching. That offensive touching is penalized in the Illinois Part 2 battery statute under which Castellanos was not convicted under. Castellanos was convicted under Part 1, which requires an intent to injure. Furthermore, the Flores court also made clear that the line between offensive contact, which would not constitute a crime of violence, and the type of violent force that would, is a qualitative line and not a quantitative line. Thus, petitioner's arguments that there is some threshold of violence required for there to be a crime of violence disregards that finding. The qualitative line is reflected in the Illinois statute, where Part 2, under which Castellanos was not convicted, would penalize offensive touching in a rude or insolent manner. But the type of violent force that's required was the section of the statute that he was found guilty of. And the Flores court specifically defined violent force as the sort that's intended to cause bodily injury. The Flores court also relied on U.S. v. Nason, one of the lines of cases which sheds light on this issue. That court explained that when a federal statute looks at the assailant's conduct and whether use of force was required, and the state statute looks at the resulting harm in the victim, those two perspectives are not irreconcilable. They're two perspectives of the same act. And thus, common sense can fill in the gap that bodily injury requires physical force. Thus, subject to the court's questions.
Now, that proposition, well, we don't have Johnson before us, but I think that proposition would be placed in doubt by Johnson.
Then I will be happy to look at that in the supplemental briefing.
We look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Imbrock, how much time?
2 minutes.
You've got 2 minutes.
I won't take all of it. We'll, of course, address Johnson in our 28-J letter. I believe I looked at the case before. I didn't recall that it addressed intent to injure. But, of course, that'll be in our supplements. And other than that, I just rest on the briefs. Thank you.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.